In the name of Lord Jesus, we continue with our study on the One True Church. We have briefly gone through the oneness of the church, meaning that there's only one church in the eyes of God. In fact, this is the plan of God. Yeah? And we see that through this one church, He is going to save those who believe, right? Now, as I mentioned to you before, I will try to leave out this God's church in two time period first. Maybe I will do it tomorrow. And then the true church from the east, because I think it's quite lengthy. Probably I will do it tomorrow. Right? And I think it's important, when we study the prophecy concerning the true church, right, we can turn to page 41. There are some guidelines and principles, and this one is not the absolute ones. So in your free time, you can read them, right? 41 and 42, the interpretation of prophecy concerning the church, some basic guidelines and principles. Right, you can follow that if you want. Right, so I think it's important when we talk about prophecy in the true church, concerning the true church, you need to have proof. Right, we cannot just simply tell people, look, the Mount Zion here refers to the church. You know what I'm saying? So we must learn to back up our belief with teachings from the scriptures. Right, so I'll show you how later on. Yeah? Okay, so. Now, we can turn to page 19, is what I want to do for today, 19 to 20, and then 22, can you see the requirements of the true church, the last heading, the requirement of the true church and the Holy Spirit, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I think these two sections will be enough for today. Alright. Now, how many of you are, please don't read the handout now, how many of you believe that Isaiah and Micah, Isaiah chapter 1, chapter 2, and Micah chapter 4 are actually talking about the emergence of the true Jesus Church? How many of you actually believe that? Don't read the handout, You heard of it before. Okay, so if I ask you, can you prove that these two passages are actually talking about the true church? Can you do it? Okay, never mind. Since everyone is so quiet, then I have to do the job myself. Okay, you find that Isaiah and Micah, these two passages are pretty similar to one another. So, but I prefer to use Micah. I think Micah is more detailed, right? When we come to the true church, to prove that here it refers to the true church, the end time true church. Okay, we can turn to chapter 4. Alright, chapter 4 verse 1 to maybe to verse 8 or whatever, right? Verse 8. Okay, now this is how I do it. Okay, if you read chapter 4 carefully, alright, I think most of us here must have heard about teaching concerning the true church based on this chapter. Am I right? Now, I think we need to go one step further. That is to prove our belief with the word of God. I think that is important. So even when you preach to people, you need to have backups from the scriptures. You cannot just say, oh, this is what the Bible says. And people may ask you, where is your proof? Show it to me. Alright? So I think... again, I said, mine is not absolute. Okay? Mine is only a guideline. Right? Maybe you can get more points later than me. So you can incorporate them into your notes as well. Alright, okay, now we turn to chapter 4. Chapter 4. Alright, how many of you, again I ask, yeah, how many of you think that here it refers to the end time true church and not the apostolic church? And not the apostolic church? Anyone? Yes. Go on. Yes, Wendy. Okay. So, okay. All right. Chapter 4 verse 1, in the last day, yeah. But you see, the point is, yeah, last day can also refer to the time of the apostle. Remember the on the day of Pentecost, you know, when the Spirit came down and some people were mocking at Peter, yeah? And then he stood up and said, he talked about the prophecy of Joel, am I right? And he also used the phrase in the last day. You know what I'm saying? Huh? Remember that? Yeah, so it can also refer to, because from I believe from the time of apostle right to our time now, this period is the end time. Okay, we can turn to that, and we can turn to that. Okay, first of all, we turn to Joel. Yeah? Joel, chapter what? Chapter 2. Joel, eh? Chapter 2, isn't it? This one. Eh? 28, yeah? There's some versions say in those days, isn't it? In those days, yeah? Verse 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Verse 29. And also, on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Okay? Now, when you turn to Acts chapter 2, and you can see how Peter, put it this way, paraphrased this part of the scriptures. Right? Now, we can read chapter 2, verse 17. Peter never said in that day, you know, Peter say in verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Can you see? Yeah. So it's in the mind of Peter, okay, in the mind of Peter. So their days, yeah, from the time of the establishment of the church, from the downpour of the Spirit, yeah. And here we can see that that period of time onwards refers to the last days. That's why he said in the last days. Alright, he was using this to confirm to the onlookers, those who mock at the experiences of receiving the Holy Spirit. And Peter said, look, in the last days. Right? So that period of time, the last days start from there, New Testament time. Okay, so now we come back to Micah. We come back to Micah. Chapter 4. Right, Micah chapter 4. Okay, we can read verse 1. Yeah. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Now I take this to mean the true church. Yeah. We see that there is a comparison between one mountain with other mountains, yeah, the highest mountain, with many mountains and small hills, right? Now, my understanding of the time of the apostle is that even though there were many heresies, you know, trying to infiltrate the church, somehow at that time there was only one church that under the leadership of God, Jesus Christ, the guidance of the Lord. Okay? So, but here we can see that there are many, many mountains and hills, right? So we find that the scenario here described actually fits our situation better. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah? Okay, there's one point, right? There's one point. Because it fits our situation better. Well, the second point is, yeah, if you turn to Micah chapter 4, right? Now we can read verse 5, yeah. For all people walk each in the name of his God, but we, there's a distinction, okay, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Now here it talks about the continuations of the church, yeah. We believe that the true church, yeah, shall continue to exist till the time that Jesus Christ comes again. Right, this is our belief. But as for the apostolic church, yeah, we know that after about 100 years, then the church became corrupt, you know, and heresy started infiltrating the church, right? And then the Spirit ascended back to heaven, and the Spirit left the church, basically, right? But here we see that this shall continue. These people will walk in the name, he says, in the future, will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. So it continues. It goes on. Okay, the other one is, of course, this one is not a very strong one, but it can be a point of reference for all of us. We can also read verse 7, because here it talks about the future glory and triumphs of Mount Zion. Yeah, verse 7. I will make the lame a remnant and outcast a strong nation. So the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on, even forever. It's continuous. But of course, we can say that the church, when we talk about the church, it has to include those who are safe in heaven and those who are on earth, and combined. Of course, God is the ruler, right? But if we talk about the physical church, yeah. Meaning that those who are still alive on earth, yeah, then we find that this is more applicable to the end time true church, because it shall continue, right? The Lord shall reign in Mount Zion from now on, even forever. Okay, that's how I look at it. That's why I'm inclined to believe that. Yeah, I'm inclined to believe that the chapter here is talking about the end time true church rather than the apostolic church. Right? You know what I'm saying? Any questions? That's why I believe in this, yeah? I believe in this. I think when we try to explain to people, yeah, concerning teachings that we have been listening so often, right? I think we should, as I mentioned before, I think we should go one step further, right, to back our belief, back up our belief, right? Prove it from the scriptures, right? Okay, but what I have said to you, what I have done is only a guideline. It's only a guideline, right? It's how you look at it. Is that clear? Right? Now, alright, if that's clear, then we'll move on. I want to ask you a question. Yeah? What are the three requirements of the true church? The three requirements, isn't it? What are they? Truth. Holy Spirit. And then? Can you prove it from the Bible? Can you prove it from the Bible? When you tell people, okay, a friend, does your church have the Holy Spirit? Does your church have the truth? Does your church perform miracles, signs, and wonders? Right? And the guy tell you, hey, show it to me. Where is it recorded? Anyone? Hello, class. Yes, thank you. Where, Timothy? Okay, put it this way. Maybe my question is not very clear to you. Put it this way. Do you, or can you find a passage in the scriptures which tells you that a church must have these 3 points? Like truth, Holy Spirit, miracles, signs and wonders. You see all the verses. Okay, put it this way. All the verses that we have, we actually gather it from here and there, you know, from this book, from that book, you know. But do you have a full proof, put it this way, from the Bible? Yes, concerning that the church must have the truth, must have the Holy Spirit, and must have miracles, signs and wonders. Right? Otherwise people can keep adding on requirements for the church. You need to have love, you know, you need stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Because here now we are talking about the requirements of the true church. There are 3 requirements. We know that. I believe that these are the 3 requirements. Or in one passage or whatever. Yes. John 4:3, yeah? John 4:3. 23. That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not. Is that the one? No. Chapter 4. Sorry. 23. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Or you have the spirit and have truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship. Not exactly. Sorry. I think where is the miracles? But sister, I think the spirit here is not it's not talking about the spirit of God. I think it's more of your. Oh, okay. Don't change it quick. Ephesians 2, yeah. 19-22. You have the what? Signs of miracles. The building up of the church is a miracle from God. Thank you very much. That's the one. I'm joking. Okay. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, one passage. Describe. Or one verse or one passage. Hey, 16:20. Yeah. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through which the accompanying signs. Okay. The accompanying sign includes speaking of new tongues. Is that what you're saying? In verse 17. Is that what you're saying? Okay. Alright. Okay. Okay. Like what? I think that is a good question. Can I ask you a question? Do you think Corinthian church was a true church? Corinthian. the church at Corinth. So, okay, my question is, do you think that the members at Corinth, they form the true church then? Because to us, many of us feel that this is a hopeless church, one of the worst churches in the Bible. Am I right? You name it, sexual immorality, fighting, the list goes on. See? But you see, that's why I say it's important, okay? That's why I believe that the three requirements as passed down by our ancestors, they are three valid requirements. Now, so when you read Corinthians, for example, you know when Paul wrote to them, the first statement from Paul say is this, to the church of God. You know what I'm saying? Even though the people, some of them, they have sinned, okay, with the exemption of one, excommunicated, the majority of them, to Paul, they still belong to God. Right? That's why, okay, we can turn to 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. Okay, verse 2. Of course, later on he qualified what he meant. Right? He said, to the church of God, which is Corinth, to those blah 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 blah. Okay? So now, put it this way, you see that I would not say it, okay? All of us are perfect, I would not say that. I think this majority of us, okay, are not perfect. Are we part of the church? Sometimes I don't have love, to be honest. I don't have. So am I part of the church? I'm still part of the church. sister. The true church. Not London Church. The church in general. I mean, true Jesus Church in general.
To be in the one fold. Yeah? Okay. Now, right, we turn back to Micah, okay? I may not be right absolutely, but I can try, okay? But we turn back to Micah, yeah? Now we say the church, because just now we said that here Micah chapter 4 is talking about a true church, right? At the end time. Now, we say that from our belief, okay, from young, since young, I heard, the elders, the deacon and preachers, they say the church, three requirements for the true church, the truth, the Holy Spirit, and the presence of miracles, signs and wonders, okay? Now, I believe that we can actually find these three requirements in Micah itself and Isaiah, okay? Now, we turn to chapter 4, Micah chapter 4. Okay, Micah chapter 4. Now, I would like to ask you a question. Who abides in this mountain here, according to Micah and Isaiah? Who abides in the mountain? The Lord, isn't it? Yeah? And then, if you, for example, if you read chapter 4, verse 2, or the second part, And people said, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his way. The presence of God is there. Right? We know that the Lord is what? Spirit. Okay? This is how I look at it. Okay? So the presence of God is there, the Spirit. Okay, now if you read verse 2 again, verse 3, he shall judge between many people. And this is the work of God in the church, or even are with the church. Alright? And then now, if you read the last part of verse 2, for out of Zion the Lord shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Yeah? So, where can you learn the law of God? Through Mount Zion. It's from Mount Zion. Can you see? Yeah? Now, the third one, yeah? The third one, I believe when we talk about miracles, signs, and wonders, we should not only focus on like healings, you know, healings. Yeah? And or a sick person comes into the church and he's healed in the name of Jesus. Of course, that is healing as well. When you see that a person is being transformed from bad to good, that is a miracle in itself. You know what I'm saying? Now, so when you read verse 3, okay, here is a miracle. Because in the past, people use sword and use spear for what? For offensive reasons, yeah? To fight. You know what I'm saying? But now we can see a transformation of these people after they have come to Mount Zion. What happened? They don't need their sword anymore. Yeah? They beat their sword into plowshare and their spear into pruning hooks. But that is a transformation in itself. There's no more fighting in Mount Zion. You know what I'm saying? And these are the what? Farming tools. Yeah? These are the farming tools. Right? So from my understanding is this. Yeah? These are miracles. Okay? I think the biggest miracles in the church is when a person changed and turned back to God. That's the biggest miracle. Okay? We can perform 100 miracles. You know, even we can. If we raise a dead person from the dead. But if he does not believe, what is the point? You know what I'm saying? If his heart is not fully turned, has not fully turned back to God, then what is the point of that miracles? Okay, so to me, the biggest miracle in the church is when a person is able to abide by the law of God fully, completely. Alright, there's a change of character. No more, put it this way, no more wickedness in him can be found. No more. He is completely good. Alright, So here you can see the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in the mountain, and we can see the truth or the law which come forth from Mount Zion, and then also people who come here would be transformed, yeah, fully. Three requirements, right? So I believe that what our ancestors, predecessors have taught us, I believe is 100% accurate. It's 100% accurate. And I also believe that there is a verse in the Bible, in the New Testament, which point to that as well. It may not be, I'll try it, okay? We can turn to 1 Corinthians. Yeah, 1 Corinthians. May not be exactly a very clear. Okay, we can turn to chapter 12, yeah? Okay. This is what the Lord has appointed in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We read verse 28. Yeah? Okay. And God has appointed this in the church. First apostle, second prophets, and third teachers. Alright. Now we know that the function of the apostle is to preach the gospel. Yeah? If you read Acts chapter 6, yeah? To pray and to preach. Yeah. Preach what? Of course, preach the truth. Prophet also to declare the message of God, the prophetic message of God. What does a teacher do? Also to teach or to impart the word of God. Right? So God appoint these people, right, to declare his truth. Right? God cannot, for example, appoint someone who does not preach the truth to be an apostle. It's quite unlikely, right? So these people must preach the truth. Okay, this is the first one. Yeah? And then when you come, if you read on, and then he said, and then miracles, miracles, this miracles, I mentioned miracles, then gift of healings, miracles, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. What does it mean? It means that the Spirit freely give this gift to the people, showing to us that the church must have the presence of the Spirit, which we can see in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and also chapter 14. Alright, that's what I believe. Yeah, that's what I believe based on this verse. Yeah, we can see the three requirements. God appointed this in the church for what? To prove that the church actually is the true church. You have a prophet, you have apostle, teachers, so on and so forth. Alright, and then we can see the different functions, a miracle and gift of healing. Of course, this is from the Holy Spirit. It goes without any doubt. It comes from the Holy Spirit. So when you read, for example, we'll read chapter 12, yeah? We can read chapter 12. We read verse 4. Now there are diversity of gift, but the same Spirit. Here it talks about who actually provides a gift for the church. It's the Spirit. Yeah? And tongue speaking, variety of tongues is one of them. Yeah, as we can see this in verse 10 of chapter 12. Alright, so this is how I look at it. Okay, so the three requirements, yeah, the three requirements: the church must have the truth, or the Spirit, and miracles, signs, and wonders. Okay, any questions? Any questions? Any questions? Or anything that you want to share? Class, hello. Yes. I don't think we separate them. But you know, come to think about it, even the when we talk about miracles, the miracles are performed through the Spirit. Yeah? Isn't it? I'm talking about the true church. Forget about the devil. That's why we need the Spirit and the truth. Okay, the truth and the Spirit. And then miracles are among us. It's impossible. It's impossible. Because they are inseparable anyway. Like what you said, the Spirit is the truth and the truth is the Spirit. How can you separate? You know. I think it's a they are very important requirements. Okay, if you go to like different places to preach, yeah? You know, I met a guy, and he said to me, "I speak in tongue. I speak in tongue. I have the Holy Spirit." I did not question him further. Right? I said, "Okay, fine. If you have the Holy Spirit, okay, let's talk about the Bible." You know. Subject like baptism, Sabbath, the Holy Spirit. You know, the doctrine of the true Jesus Church. Okay, then we discussed. Then he realized that he doesn't have the full truth. And then straight away we question the Spirit. Question mark. You know what I'm saying? So I think in that light, it's good to separate the three, not in the sense that they are not related, okay? To make them distinct so that we can know that the true church must have these three requirements, the truth, the spirit. Because many people say they have the Holy Spirit, but to me, I would not challenge them straight away. I would not. I will talk to them about the Bible. Right? And then many people, they said, I have the Holy Spirit, yeah? I have the... You see, I can perform many miracles. Many of them. To me, I will not challenge them. I said, okay, come back to the scriptures and talk about Sabbath and baptism. Okay? No, I think with the... What's your name again? I don't remember. Brother from Toronto. Daniel. Okay. I think with regards to the issue we raised, concerning the other requirements, like you must have love, stuff like that. I think that should be our objective. Yeah? As a member of the true church, right? That should be our objective. We pursue to... be more loving towards one another. That's transformation. That's the biggest miracle. Thank you. Okay. Any more? That's all I have prepared for today. Because I only knew that yesterday my timetable has been changed. Okay. Tini来，你来。哎，他问题是说，我们怎么知道一个人在讲到的时候，他说讲的是真理啊？Tini来，真理专家在那边 ，the expert of the truth。 Yes, sister, yes. I'll come to that tomorrow. It's around the east. This day is not in the Bible.
It's not in the Bible.
I think. Yeah. I think disaster does not prove the trueness of the church. The trueness of the church. Where she comes from. Yeah, we are in the end time. Yes, in the end time. But I think the natural disaster is only one of the signs which points to the coming of Jesus, right? What miracle?
Oh, I know what you mean.
but there are also many disasters in other part of the world. All right, there are many. It's major. I read an article about 400 years ago. There was a tsunami which hit the UK 400 years ago. Yeah. Yes, 400 years ago. So sorry, I cannot see the link. Okay, any more? We have to answer the question from our brother Golden. How do we know that the person who speaks is of the truth, especially when he is on the pulpit? No, okay, brother, put it this way. Are you talking about internal preaching, preaching to the members, or you preach? That's right there. Well, that's easier to resolve. Yes. I think as far as I'm concerned, yeah? As far as I'm concerned, I think the foundation of the church has already been laid. Okay, that's my belief. All right, it's there already. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you said the foundation is Jesus Himself, and no one should relay another foundation. Okay, I think when we talk about preaching to people outside, then we should follow the foundation that we have, or our preaching should be based upon this foundation, rather. Okay. So that's what I believe. Even though sometimes our explanation may be different, we express in a way which seems which is different from one another. The essence remains the same. You know what I'm saying? For example, we talk about baptism in the name of Jesus. You know, if you get Michael to talk about it, he may approach it from Matthew first. You get me to talk about it, I may approach it from the book of John, you know, but the essence remains the same. You know what I'm saying? That's why I think the most important thing is that we cannot shift away from the foundation. That is the main thing. Right. That's the main thing. That's why when you read, when we read the Bible, like in the book of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, actually the teaching is passed down from one generation to another. It passed down. So the foundation is there. Right? Today I my knowledge, I did not invent it myself. I learned from those who taught me. And then maybe later on, I try to understand it better. I search. Okay? But that does not amount to a new invention. You know what I'm saying? Because the foundation is still the same. Right? So that's why, the Bible says we must desire prophecy, but at the same time we must be discerning. Should be able to discern. It doesn't mean that I'm not trying to teach you to be picky over people's sermons. Oh, this guy, you see, his structure is not very good. You see, his sentence structures are hopeless. I'm not asking you to do that. Okay, to be discerning means you have a very clear and cool mind. Okay, to make sure that what you receive will edify your spirit. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I'm not trying to, ask you to pick on people. No, that's not my intention. That's for sure. Right. So that's why I always I think I have said to most of the UK brothers and sisters, I said, whatever I said, check it out with the scriptures. See whether it's in the Bible or not. Right? And also see whether it contradicts our basic belief, our basic faith. Right? Simple as that. From the Bible. Use the Bible. Okay. This is what I believe, okay? First, I think, as I mentioned, yeah, the foundation is of vital importance. Right? Our preaching should be based on the same foundation. I think like what Paul says, yeah, the rest, we need the power of God. We do our best, and then we pray that through the power of God, all these walls and hindrances would be torn down. Yeah, that's what I believe. So, you know, to me, I can only do my best. Seriously, I just preach, I tell them what I know, and of course, again, I stress, it's on the same foundation. The rest, I leave it to God. Now, that's my limit, you know. That's how far I can go. Come nearer.
go against this tradition to the genre. And therefore, if we then were to read on and think what we preach today, I mean, there are many other verses like Hold Fast the Pattern of Sound Words, when John wrote and said, how do we distinguish between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error? If we read 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, John says, by this you know the spirit of truth. He who is of God hears us. But who is us? The apostle. Christ is the apostle. He who is of God hears us. By this we will know the spirit of truth. So I think the important thing today is there are many churches today who say they also preach according to the Bible and all that. Personally, I wasn't born and bred in the Free Jesus Church. And so before I came to the Free Jesus Church, I had the opportunity to, look into other churches and all that. And what basically I found was that at a very basic level, I think everybody supposedly preaches the Bible when they say, oh, all men are sinners. Yeah, that's not the Bible. But going beyond that, we do find that sometimes there are many other teachings that are not from the Bible. So for example, there are teachings about baptism. Well, they say it's only an outward expression of an inward faith. But that's not what the apostle said, because Peter in Acts 2 says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. And if that is what we preach today, that seems to very clearly align with what was committed and revealed to the saints, to the apostles. So to me, that's and I think that's the way we can probably align it. That's the way I see it.
Okay. I think, in terms of preaching the truth, I think what we need to do is we do our best, we pray about it. Sometimes, my little experience, sometimes you preach, nobody wants to listen, okay? And they walked away. Sometimes when you preach, many people are attracted to it, alright? I think when we talk about whether these people will come to believe or not, we can only do our best, and the rest we leave it to God. And just like Noah, he preached for how many years? More than 100 years. None came to believe apart from his own family. Right? But in the eyes of God, he was a righteous person. Right? He was not, how to say it? Of course, the Bible does not talk about it. He was not downhearted about it. You know? I think with regards to preaching, our part is to do our best. That's why I also believe that today we have seminar, because we want to learn more. We want to really try our best to preach the gospel. Yeah. Okay. You know, there are things which are very clear to us, may not be so clear to the listeners concerned. Right. I think, of course, there are many factors that make them to be blind in the sense, right? So I think, for us, again, I said what we can do is to do our best to tell them what we know. Okay. Okay, I tell you what, yeah. If you have any questions, please write down. And pass it to me as soon as possible, so I can read through them and get myself prepared to answer them. Okay? Alright, let's say a silent prayer.